brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Yes, it's sippin' time again. Hello and welcome to this Sips episode, where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
We used to be. Mork and Mindy is back.
Well, I don't
no
know.
No way, really?
Yeah.
What was yeah. Why was I at the club at 2 a.m.? I should have been watching Mork and Mindy.
I know, that's going on? Well, that's why we're bumped off now.
But was it the good Mork and Mindy, or like in the end when they had like Jonathan Winters as their kid? They were just reaching for
straws. Yeah, at that point, they jumped the shark big time then.
Right. Don't get me wrong. Jonathan Winters is awesome, but just a bad premise. Just not a good premise. But yeah, you're right. We're probably second to that.
But it was Private Benjamin. He was. Remember, he starts older, gets younger. It was
good. Yeah. What are you going to do?
Private Benjamin's
the one with Goldie Hawn.
What's the movie I'm thinking of?
I have no idea.
Saving Private Ryan?
No.
I'll Benjamin, get the chat Benjamin GPT Button? On no, when Benjamin I figure Button. It out.
There oh, yeah. you hey, go. Well, that's exactly the same as that. Of course. Oh, Lord.
As you can tell, folks, we've been drinking before the show.
We'll get him a job working for AMC any day now. Yeah, we're just waiting for them to call. George Clooney's dad isn't going to have that job much longer. Now, is he? Well, this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today are Made Man Brent.
Well, it should be a pleasure, right?
Yes, it is a pleasure.
We tortured him today.
Oh, Lord. Made Man Maury.
Good morning. Excited to be here in the damp dank basement. Thank God Brent actually put something over his lower body today.
Yeah, he's wearing pants. Well,
No, I never wear pants.
It's more like a loincloth.
Like magic underwear. Good old boy, Justin.
Good morning. So glad to be out of the sun and into the dank, dark basement. My happy place.
Absolutely. And good old boy, Harm.
Thank you, Bob. I really appreciate being here today. I'm not
You're
just saying that.
You're a complete bastard. We'll hate you.
That sounds
Might as well
right.
get it started.
Yeah. I'm a little bit of a masochist, apparently.
Anyway, well, our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, pretty much anything else that you can drink. And today's a whiskey episode, and here's the whiskeys we're going to be discussing. We have the Singleton of Glendowan 12-year-old single malt scotch whiskey. We have Glenmorangie's A Tale of the Forest single malt whiskey. We have Glenfiddich 12-year sherry cask finish single malt whiskey. From Dalmore, we have their 14-year single malt. We have the Dalmore Portwood, the Dalmore Cigar Malt, the Dalmore King Alexander III, and from Lagavulin, we have the Lagavulin Nick Offerman 3rd Edition Charred Cask.
Oh, I can't wait.
I know. I've been holding on to this one for months for you. They sent me this, I think, like just at the end of the year, and I've been holding it all this time just for you.
I appreciate that.
I enjoyed watching him drink it.
So did I. But again, it's that masochist.
I said I was a masochist. No, that's pretty much sadism. I enjoyed the torture.
I can never get those two straight. Which one is which? Yeah. Well, anyway, so we're going to have Justin tell us all about our sips ratings.
All right. One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth. It's disgusting.
That was terrible, and it's still the best one he's done so far. I will give him that.
Yeah. Two sips. Nice, but what else do you have?
Nah, he's losing.
Well, isn't that nice?
Three sips.
Interesting. What was this again?
Interesting.
Not buying any better.
Nope.
Four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
No.
You're almost getting there. I mean, I'm rooting for you.
He's close.
I'm rooting for you.
Yeah, he's on the path. He's just not there.
Five sips.
Oh my, I was unaware anything could be this good.
Right in the toilet.
Right, oh my.
Right in the toilet.
Oh my, I was unaware it could be that bad.
It's like the high diver who misses his mark and hits his head on Chibetti the way down.
Flop. Yeah. Chibetti flop.
He doesn't hit the target in the little kiddie pool. He hits the edge of the little kiddie pool.
No, dude. He hit his head on the edge of the board on the way down.
And it's just, yeah.
That's what happens when you backflip before your belly flop.
Well, let's get to our first whiskey, and we're going to have Brent tell us all about that one.
Thanks, Bob. The Glendullen Distillery was established in 1897 by William Williams, an Aberdeen blender and whiskey broker.
I feel like white people need more names.
Yeah.
Double. Sorry. Go ahead.
In 1919, he merged with the Greenlee brothers to create McDonald, Greenlee's, and Williams Distillers, which was itself absorbed by Distillers Company Limited, or DCL, in 1925. DCL became United Distillers in 1986 and then became Diageo in 1997. The original distillery was rebuilt in 1962, and in 1972, a second distillery was built next door, and both were run together until 1985, when the original distillery was closed. The second distillery, previously referred to as Glendullen II, continues to operate to this day. So this first whiskey we're going to be trying is Singleton of Glendullen. It's a 12-year single malt Scotch whiskey. It's 40% ABV, that's 80 proof. The Singleton brand is actually manufactured in three Scottish whiskey distilleries, Dufftown, Glen Ord, and Glendullen. And Glendullen has been making the Singleton brand since 2007. This expression is aged primarily in ex-bourbon casks with some European oak casks. So the color on this is a nice light straw finish. On the nose, it's just, the nose is just like a little fruit bomb. You get like that vanilla comes through. You get some cherries come through, a little bit of nuttiness on it. It's beautiful. It's really nice nose. And on the palate, same thing. You get, Oh, yeah, you get a little, the thing that pops out of me right away is I get a little bit of lemon peel, and then I get some fruits that just follow behind it with some pears and bananas, a little bit of a cinnamon. But it's nice. Overall, this is a nice pleasure. The finish is not very long. It's just like a medium finish. Nice mouth coating. Overall, a nice, pleasant whiskey to start off our day.
Yeah, this thing is a fruit salad on the nose. I mean, it's just a huge tropical fruit bomb. It's like a big bowl of fruit salad. Yummy, yummy. Sorry, I had kids. What a Wiggles reference. Come on, your kid's not that old.
My kid's 9, so yeah. We've not been exposed to the Wiggles.
Oh,
because you know your kids are much older.
Horrible person, you.
So I'm just thankful based on what I've heard from you.
Oh yeah, it's. Don't get me wrong.
Although she's got YouTube on her.
I'd put one of those long sleeve T-shirts on in a heartbeat if I thought I could make that much money. Lord have mercy. Yeah, a bath towel at the last concert I took the kids to was like $60. I'm like,
wow. So Brent, this is good old boy Harmeet, in case people don't know.
They can tell by his disdain.
Yeah, I agree with you, but it's 80 proof. So that's my only qualm with this whiskey.
Well, I think it's an entry level. They want it for the
masses.
I think they want it for the masses.
I agree. I don't think there's anything wrong with 80 proof.
And I'll give you this. Because it's at 80 proof, they don't pay the tariffs and the taxation that they do over 80 proof. And this retail is right around $30.
Yeah.
So it's
for the money.
This is killer for the money.
Yeah,
this is delicious for the money. It is very nice. It's very easy to drink. It's just nicely made.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not a $3,000 whiskey, but it drinks well above its
not,
price point.
It's not stopping the clock, but it gets you where you need to go. It's extremely well done for the money.
But there's another great problem. Value. There's another problem. I'm going to bring it up. There's three distilleries.
Oh, we know what the problem is. He's sitting to my right.
Yeah, there's three distilleries that make Singleton.
Mm-hmm.
We have all tasted Singleton Glen Ord, which they do not bring to America except like once a year.
Mm-hmm.
The Glen Ord is beyond
what
we get here.
The Glen Ord is...
Oh, wow. The Glen Ord is
something from another planet.
And the stuff that they released, like last year's special release from Diageo, the Glen Ord at cask strength, I mean, sell your kids for that one.
But again, a wholly different, you know, they're just sharing the first name. Completely different whiskey, completely different distillery. I mean, for the money, this is a great pour.
I still don't understand why they called three different distilleries the Singleton.
They do it to make you mad. Is it working?
They do. They're making me mad.
It's succeeding. Success.
Yeah, success. What do you think, Justin?
I think that's definitely an added bonus. Mm-hmm. I kind of get the fruit bowl you guys are talking about, but I get my aunt's potpourri too. You know, the one you hit when you go through the front door.
Walk past the bedroom and potpourri bomb.
It's not that floral, really.
I'm getting it.
I'm getting more what he said, the vanilla and the fruit.
I agree. The water definitely tones down the floral.
I didn't even try
with floral.
It's 80 proof already. Put water.
No, a little, couple little drops of water.
Here, give me the water bottle.
Not for the heat, but for the opening.
To open it up. I got the
flavors.
Hey, you know, I say the same thing.
I know. It did nicely.
No, it's got a candy note to it. The fruit really shines through.
It is candy.
That there's a big boost on the palate after you swallow. The tongue just tingles with a lemon zest on it. This is a really good.
Both of you said lemon zest. I get more apple and pear than lemon.
Yeah, I get the lemon after I swallow it. Yeah. But overall, you know, an excellent whiskey. So we're going to be rating the Glendullen, Singleton Glendullen, 12 years, single malt scotch whiskey. A well-deserved 3 sips.
Interesting.
So let's go on and have Justin tell us about our next one.
So we're going to talk about Glenmorangie, A Tale of the Forest, single malt whiskey. It's 46% alcohol by volume or 92 proof. And no, I did not do the math. Some years ago.
That's why it's right.
Right. Correct. Some years ago, while walking in the woods, Dr. Bill Lumsen, master of whiskey creation at Glenmorangie, recalled.
Glenmorangie.
What he said. Recalled how ancient Highland whiskey makers dried their barley with all kinds of forest fuel. He began experimenting by kilning his barley with many different botanicals, finally selecting juniper berries, birch bark, and heather flowers, married with the little peat. And we'll talk more about it after the break.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Before the break, we were talking about Glenmorangie, A Tale of the Forest.
Glenmorangie.
Glenmorangie.
There you go.
Rhymes with orangey.
Tale of the Forest single malt whiskey. And Dr. Bill Lumsen aged the spirit made from this barley in a large portion of refill ex-bourbon casks to allow the spirit's flavors to come forward. Now, this really did accomplish its title. It really does taste like you're drinking the forest floor, but in a pretty good way. You got like all these different woods and earth, and it's pretty darn cool. What did you think, Maury?
I thought this was a really interesting whiskey. I think that the nose really gets you excited and really reminds us of the forest and the floor. I didn't feel like the palate followed through quite as nicely. For me, I was expecting great things from this whiskey, complexity, layers. And it was just there for me. It definitely has some unusual flavors, but I just felt like everything was a little bit muted. Harm, what did you think?
Maury, I love pretty much everything Dr. Lumsden does. Every time he's in Florida, I try to hang out with him.
Dr. Bill's awesome.
Yes, it's is this when I feel like this is a swing and a miss. He put juniper in a whiskey. Well, he didn't put in the whiskey. He used toasted juniper to malt the barley. That's gin. Gin and whiskey together don't go. I don't know. I smell the pine. I smell the juniper. I get a little bit of mint. But overall, it's that he used a little bit of peat as well. I get some campfire. It's a geek's whiskey. It's interesting, but it was a swing and a miss for me. Yeah. This is one of the few I don't like by the.
Yeah, definitely a geek whiskey. And just like Maury said, the nose gives so much promise. Like you can smell that, the forest and stuff. But then you get it. That's just doesn't cool match up on the palate.
It does smell like a forest.
Yeah. So he accomplished that goal, but the flavor profile afterwards follow.
I get pine.
What I'm going to tell you, though, is add water.
When you add water, this one,
because the palate.
You're too far away from my.
Bob happens to be right. It is a relatively low proof whiskey. It's coming in at 92
but
proof.
But literally a drop.
But a drop or two of water.
It goes from 5 to 9 like that. Yeah,
it really made a big difference in terms of the flavor. It unmasked.
No, I did the water before too, and I'll do a little bit more. I get peppermint. I get pine. Mm-hmm. I get clove. It's really interesting, but it's not what I think of when I think of single malt. It's on my shelf.
No, it's definitely not. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's
on my bar to taste. You want to taste something really interesting and weird? This is it.
That's why geek.
But it's interesting.
Geek whiskey. Yeah. You know?
Air very does interesting. It good too, by the way.
Very. And I think that, you know, with all the regular products that you have out there, you kind of, I think he's looking outside the box to get like, well, what else can I put out there that may assume to other people, you know,
I'm getting a big finish of juniper right now because I added water.
Yeah, wow. Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. It just a tiny little bit of water and this thing amps up on the palate. Yeah. It doubles.
It's a long, intense, but weird whiskey.
He's done some really cool, and that the Tail of Cake was awesome.
Tail of Cake was one of my favorite things ever made.
That was an amazing one.
And it wasn't it wasn't like cake flavored vodka where they pour some chemical in it to make it taste like cake. He made it taste like cake.
Yeah. Tail of Winter is great too.
Just blending, like wow, yeah. Tail of Winter was also awesome. This one is very interesting. I mean, it's cool. It's not.
It's a geek's whiskey.
You're
geeks. Yeah. You're geeks.
It is not a classic Highland single malt in any way, shape, or form, but it is very, very interesting.
I think the birch does something on that smoke. There's some, it's not just peat. There's some birch bark here. And those heather flowers. It's so interesting on the nose, but the palate just didn't match up even with the water.
I agree with Harm.
Yep, definitely. Well, kids,
what do we give it?
We're going to be rating it 2 sips.
All right.
Well, isn't that nice?
So let's move on to the next one. We're going to have Harm tell us about that one.
Thank you, Bob. Founded in Dufton, Scotland by William Grant, Glenfiddich first ran from the stills on Christmas Day, 1887. It became the first single malt whiskey to be promoted outside of Scotland and is one of the few single malt distilleries to remain entirely family owned and is still produced in the same distillery which William Grant and his children hand built. So this is the Glenfiddich 12-year-old sherry cask finish single malt whiskey, 43% ABV or 86 proof for those of you mathematically challenged. The Glenfiddich 12-year-old sherry cask finish is matured in a traditional American and European oak casks before finishing in rare Amontillado sherry casks. Amontillado sherry is from the Spanish sherry region of Jerez and is characterized as being darker than Fino and lighter than Oloroso. Amontillado is also considered to be one of the most the four major dry sherries, but still displays sweet notes like hazelnuts and caramel. Amontillado is sherry casks are produced for the whiskey industry are known to be extremely rare, representing only 1.8% of all sherry produced. This special edition is the first Glenfiddich to ever be finished in Amontillado sherry casks. And how many more times can I say Amontillado? That's a lot of Amontillado.
I don't know. Say it again. I don't know.
Didn't Edgar Allan Poe...
The Cask of Amontillado.
The Cask of Amontillado. There you go. Oh, so wow. The color on this.
You're showing off your worldliness.
There you go. I actually like Amontillado sherry. We did a sherry show last year, and Amontillado is the hardest one to sell because it's not sweet enough for some people, and for people who want bone-dry Fino, it's not dry. But I find it wonderfully balanced. I had some friends, relatives in from Mumbai, and this past week, and we went down to Jose Andreas's restaurant in Miami, and we finished with a sherry pairing and a cheese course, and the Amontillado
was the winner.
With the right cheeses was the winner. Although I did prefer the Fino, and and my cousin, who's a big Scotch drinker, Oloroso was his finished. Who was his favorite? But the consensus, Amontillado, give it a chance, give it with the right food. But here, even better, put it in this whiskey. The color is a red gold, and the nose is fresh and fruity with lots of pear. I mean, I think they say a hint, but I get pears and dried fruit and like apricots. And I mean, there's something sweet here, like a cakeish thing. And it's got clove and cinnamon, just a little bit, just a hint. But when you drink it, the clove and cinnamon and a little bit like other spices come out even more on the palate.
I got fruity pebbles and cocoa puffs.
And I will give you that, dude.
With, you know, milk. Really?
I don't know about
the cocoa puffs. You know, one's crazy and the other swears by it.
That's right.
I mean, I don't know about the cocoa puffs, but the fruity pebbles.
If you mix them together.
There's a little hint of chocolate here.
With a kick, you know.
Yeah. I get a lot of apple and almond.
Don't serve this whiskey to your children for breakfast, please.
Yeah, please don't.
With fruity pebbles? Yeah, no.
Unless your children are over 21, then help yourself.
But the cocoa's there. It's more on the finish, and I feel more like it's oak. And adding water actually brings more of those cocoa pebbles or cocoa puffs.
Yeah.
I hate myself for even saying that. Why'd I do this? Why am I sitting next to you?
I hate you for saying that.
Oh, God.
Because I'm keeping it real.
But then again, keeping I'm just real. Keeping did I really real. Need that reason?
Oh, then you take it. Well, you tell me what you got.
That's what I got.
The fruity pebbles and cocoa
puffs. Yeah.
He's done. He's already said seven words.
I don't have a lot of words, you know.
What do you think, Maury?
Well, you know, I'm speechless. Brent, what do you think?
I enjoyed this one. This one is nice to drink, pleasant on the palate, nice creaminess to it. There's all that fruitiness to it. You know, if I was going to buy a scotch, this could be one that I buy.
I agree.
If I ever wanted to buy one.
Beautiful. This to me is a beautiful.
I'll not be seeing this in any Monday at your house.
Not quite entry level, but I would say near entry level. Just, you know, for somebody who's novice in the scotch world, this is a beautiful whiskey to introduce you. It just draws you right in to the sherry. It's a beautiful whiskey.
One crass commercial note I got to mention. This is not the regular Glenfiddich 12-year-old. When you go to the liquor store, or especially come to my liquor store, there's two different 12-year-old Glenfiddichs on the shelf. The regular 12-year-old and then the sherry cask, which is in a red canister. It is distinctly different from the original entry level.
It is.
It's a couple bucks more, but not much. Bob, what do you think?
I think this is the best thing that Glenfiddich's come out with in the last, 5 years at least. I think this is a welcome addition to their main product line. It is a fantastic whiskey for the money. I applaud their use of the Amontillado cask because I do like Amontillado more.
Nice to sneak a couple more of those Amontillados in.
Well, I like it. Honestly, I like it better than Oloroso.
We've now exceeded the Vegas line.
And I like it better than Fino.
Congratulations to all the winners.
It's more earthy and it's more complex than, say, a Fino.
It's drier. I love Oloroso. But that's what most Scotch people use.
It's also not Oloroso's. This one I find more complex. But the whiskey here is absolutely fantastic. It's so well done. It's, you know, sometimes cask finishes can just cover up a whiskey, but this just lifts it up and elevates the whiskey.
And I'm very happy they went above the 80 proof and did 86. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing
to
do.
You'd be crying if it were 80.
I know, because it would be weak.
It's just pears on the nose.
I would like, you know what I want? I want them to release this at cask strength.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. This at cask strength would be
fun.
Bomb.
As we say in the hobby, Ben,
just
buy it now.
Yeah, this, I think they've got a winner on their hands. I was lucky enough to do an interview and try this with Dave, who's their West Coast brand ambassador. And this is a winner. They've done an incredibly good job on it. And I will drink this. You bet your rear end on that one. So we're going to be rating the Glenfiddich 12-year sherry cask, a well-deserved 4 sips.
We can say butt on this show, right? Like sherry butt.
I like big butts. I cannot lie.
You can only say butt as contextualized by a barrel.
Oh, I see.
Oh. Well, that's what I was talking about.
Pork butts are off limit.
I like big butts. Oh. And I cannot lie. Exactly.
No pork butts on this show.
Okay, Bob, why don't you tell us about the next one?
You can say butt like I Harm's nickname is Butthead. So, you know. Well, our next whiskey is from the Dalmore. So the Dalmore, we've done a few of their whiskeys over the years on the show, but they were founded in 1839 by Alexander Matheson. Matheson was a partner in Jardine Matheson, which was a trading firm that controlled exports of opium to China.
Yeah.
Everybody's first billion was sketchy, you know?
The distillery was purchased by the McKenzie family in 1878, and then from 1917 to 1920, they closed the distillery and used it to manufacture mines for the First World War, for the war effort.
What could go wrong?
Yeah, well, that's it pretty much blew the building mostly down. Yeah. So they spent a couple of years after the war putting it back together.
Colonial oppression with drug trade and arms manufacturer. I'm down, man. Let's do it.
So
thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for that. Appreciate that. So 1922... they resumed making spirit. In 1960, the McKenzie family sold the distillery to White & Mackay, who was one of their best customers, who bought a lot of their whiskey for their blends. White & Mackay currently, it's went through a few owners, but currently it's owned by Emperador of the Philippines. So our first whiskey is the Dalmore 14-year-old single malt whiskey. It's 43.8% ABV, 87.6 proof. This is the newest addition to Dalmore's core product line. It was initially aged in bourbon casks, and then 40 to 60% varies of the whiskey is finished for about 2 years in hand-selected Pedro Jimenez casks from the House of Gonzalez Baez, and that's pretty much where all their sherry casks come from. Then it is blended back into the remaining whiskey to make this expression. This is the first expression from Dalmore to be finished in Pedro Jimenez casks. So you've got a beautiful burnt bronze color on this with honestly a little bit of almost orangey ring to it. On the nose, it's just honey, a little bit of raisins,
a little orange zest,
almost a minty coolness in the tip of the nose, and on the palate, on the palate, absolutely lovely. I get hazelnuts. I get roast coffee beans. Get that cocoa, dark chocolate.
Get that little hint of maple syrup in there.
There's a little bit of maple syrup in the center of the palate.
And I didn't get the honey earlier either. I got dates and like figs.
And then I get that orangey on the back palate. So absolutely beautiful whiskey. What do you think, Brent?
I like how they did this with the 40 to 60%, where they didn't do the whole entire barrel. It's a neat concept when you think about it, because they left the core product, and they just aged some of it in the Pedro Jimenez, and then they brought it back and put it back with the original product. I think if they'd have done the whole thing, first off, 2 years would have been too long for the whole barrel. Yeah,
they could have shortened it.
Yeah, they could have shortened it and stuff. But I love the concept that they did with this. And it really worked. You know what? It came through and it really worked.
Bob is always talking about unbalanced whiskeys. You can take a wine finish and overwhelm the whiskey. Yeah,
you cover it like paint.
Right. No. And this is
the opposite. This is exactly what you're trying to do.
Yeah, I think there was more than one way they could have accomplished this. They certainly could have aged the whole batch, but for a much lesser time than 2 years, or they aged a roughly 50%. And for 2 years, and then gently blended it in.
But this is Richard Patterson, the nose, the king of the blenders. So taking it and putting it in there for 2 years, and then taking that liquid and then blending it to the prior to get where he wants to go, that's exactly where Dalmore is going to go.
So you're not just getting the sherry from the barrel. You're getting the tannins and you're getting everything else. These are different wood. So this is going to be Gonzalez Bias is using American and European oak.
Bob and I were lucky enough to do a deconstructed tasting with them a while back in Miami, where we got to taste the component sherries as well as the finished whiskeys.
Nice.
And they've had this very long-standing relationship.
With one of the winemakers from Gonzalez Baez.
Gonzalez Baez. Yeah. They've had this relationship for many, many years.
Did Diana put that together?
No, it was before her. This was several years ago. This is pre-COVID.
And honestly, Gonzalo's Baez is a very high-end sherry producer. They've had this exclusive relationship.
I carry almost everything they make. They do a great job.
Yeah. And that's Dalmore. Everything that they do is exclusively Gonzalo's Baez. Right. They have a great relationship.
Exactly. And I agree. I love Pedro Ximénez finished sherry whiskeys. The problem is they can be overdone and you can...
Well, Pedro Ximénez is so sweet and rich and sticky.
So you could end up with essentially a Pedro Ximénez, a Scotch-flavored Pedro Ximénez, as opposed to a whiskey finished in a Pedro Ximénez cask. And this nails it in that.
And some do go more toward the sweet, and some of them are still very good. You know, some of them are a little more sticky, more raisiny, and that's fine. Some are like this to the other side, but it's not.
But this one's a delight. It's not got overdone. A lot of those sweet notes,
but not being cloying, sweet. Not sticky.
I mean, you got maple syrup, which we think of as being really sweet, and figs and dates, but yet the whiskey's really not overly sweet.
I still don't get the maple. I added water. I still get the figs and dates. I don't get the maple.
Well, there's something broken in your soul. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. I'm from Canada, man. I was a Canadian citizen until I was 18.
It's funny you don't look Canadian.
I'm calling INS now, and I'm going to have you dragged back. And the reason he's here, Canada didn't want him anymore.
I know.
All right. So
they said neither did Alabama.
You can't handle the cold. Rejects.
Neither did Alabama want him anymore.
Well, we're going to be rating the Dalmore 14-year single malt whiskey. A well-deserved 4 sips.
Yes, really nice.
That's classified.
So let's have Maury tell us about our next whiskey.
Why, thank you, Bobby Joe. The next whiskey is Dalmore Portwood single malt whiskey. It is 46.5% ABV or 93 proof. The Dalmore Portwood is initially aged in American white oak casks before enjoying a finishing period in port pipes that were sourced from well-known port producer W&J Grahams.
Wait a minute. What's a port pipe?
Well, it's not something you put tobacco in and smoke, but it's actually the name of a barrel used for aging port, roughly 600 liters.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That's kind of nice. I mean,
tall and skinny.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do tend to be long and skinny.
They look like a pill. They're round, but they're tall.
But they kind of look like a long piece of sore pipe.
Yeah.
Very long.
You mean the port pipe looks like a pipe? What kind of pipe?
Who would have guessed?
Sore pipe.
Sore pipe. You don't want to compare sewer pipes to the whiskey thing you own your whiskey in.
And we'll be back. It doesn't
look like a barrel.
Just the destination. But baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
And we're back. And we've been talking about the Dalmore Portwood single malt whiskey at 93 proof. So getting to the glass, this whiskey has a beautiful, beautiful coppery / mahogany color on the nose, clove-studded orange, sweet red berries, a little hint of prune, plummy fruits, and a bit of sticky toffee pudding. On the palate, it's luscious, it's viscous, it's mouth-coating. You get hints of chocolate and nectarine, creamy caramel, roasted nuts, a hint of coffee. It's really an interesting whiskey. It's got layers and layers of flavor that keep going. A little bit of water opens it up and really just reveals even more layers. The finish is long. It's comforting. This is an all-night sipper. You could just sit by the fire and sip this baby all night long.
It is an all-night sipper. Thank you, Brent. This is another one that you could really enjoy. It's their product line has always been impressive. And this is the same the same facts that it's go into delicious. This. It's like, yeah, delicious. They got the fruits, they got the vanillas, they got all these things that you love, and they're blended well together, and it really shines through.
It's a scotch for bourbon drinkers, yes, I think.
It is a scotch for bourbon drinkers.
Yeah, the toffee shines through, and that's what makes it.
Yeah, it really brings you those that baked burnt toffee note, and especially on the back end.
And it's got such a long finish. It's just warming on the tongue.
And it just goes on and on.
It goes on and on.
Nice cold winter night in front of the fire. Yeah. It would be
I need a smoking jacket.
I have, you know, honestly, I mean, it's Dalmore. I've never had a bad Dalmore. This one is fantastic. I really do enjoy the Portwood. I buy this from time to time myself. Always impressive. Always a great finish on it. And again, for the money, a great
Portwood whiskey. Is one of their newer expressions, and I do enjoy it.
But everybody's Portwood has really been quite special. One of the first really nice Portwood Scotch finishes I had came out of Balvenie, and they did a beautiful job with it. And this one is no exception. It was a one-time
thing. You know what? My favorite Portwood right now is Glendronach.
Really. Oh, yeah.
I love that. Oh, yeah. That's a strawberry jam on a croissant with butter.
Mm.
It is stunning.
But right, we're going to be rating 17-year Portwood is no longer?
No.
Oh, sorry.
We're going to be rating the Dalmore Portwood a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
And we're going to have Brent tell us about our next one.
Thanks, Bob. The next one is a Dalmore Cigar Malt Single Malt Whiskey. It's 44% ABV. I guess that would be 88 proof. Yep. You know, with my math.
Well done.
The spirit is initially matured in American white oak ex-bourbon casks. A portion of the liquid remains in the ex-bourbon cask, while the balance is a portion between the finest Gonzales Bias sherry casks, previously holding 30-year-old Matusalem Oloroso sherry cask. Yeah, I know. At least I didn't say I would have said Armadillo for the other one, okay? don't. And Cabernet Sauvignon wine barriques. The three styles are then expertly brought together to perfectly combine their unique characteristics and flavors. So they call it the cigar malt because they want this one to be blended, you know, for you to sit down and enjoy it with a cigar. The color on this one is a nice coppery color, darker copper color. On the nose, I get the cinnamon really shines through in vanilla, and I get some red berries, some plums on it. It's just it's a really nice, but then I guess because they want it to be a cigar malt on my palate, I get some bitterness that comes out right away, and that's from this. It's kind of from this like a dark chocolate, like a bitter chocolate that comes.
It's like a bittersweet chocolate.
Yeah, I get some other spices, a little bit of some more fruits to it and stuff. But that bitterness, I guess, is what helps you with that dark chocolate bitterness. Helps you with the people with the cigars, and it makes it blend easier for that. And that's why they call it a cigar.
Did you try a drop of water in it?
Yeah, I tried to drop a water. Bloom. It's
gorgeous.
Yeah, it's very nice, and it's got a nice mouthfeel to it and stuff. But that. But initially, that bitterness kind of, you know, pulled me away from it. But I can understand then why you'd want to just enjoy this one with the cigar. So
it brings you back.
It does bring you back.
But you like the rhubarb.
Yeah. You know, so.
So I don't know why you don't like the bitterness.
I don't know. I mean, it's just I like dark chocolate as well, you know. Well, so
you hang out with Harm, so obviously bitterness doesn't give a problem.
Mr. Bitter, I know. Yeah. I mean,
I'm like a fine Amaro.
Yeah. You're like a cheap Amaro.
I was going to say, a cheap Amaro, yes. Yeah. Fine, I'm not sure.
Easy, inexpensive.
Overwhelmingly bitter, but sweet underneath.
Yeah.
A 92% dark chocolate.
We may approach that later. Bitter.
This one is always my jam. When I'm looking at Dalmore, this is the one that I reach for more often than not, because I feel that this particular one, for me, punches above its price point. This, I think, is the best whiskey they make. Dollar for dollar,
When it first came out, it was way too cheap.
That's right.
And then they went way too high with their.
That's right. Money. They brought it back down.
This is the middle road.
Yeah. Now it's back where it belongs.
But it's still for the money. It's fantastic.
They did different variations.
Yeah.
This is the third or fourth iteration.
Correct.
And this is. I think they're really honing in where it should be.
But it was worse once their entry level.
Yeah.
And then it moved to be very expensive.
Yeah. It was almost more expensive than King Alexander.
Back in the middle.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's moved around, but the flavor profile has been within those lines.
But they're honing in and they're doing it right. I think they did a good job.
Excellent whiskey. So we're going to be rating the Dalmore Cigar Malt, single malt whiskey, a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So that takes us to our next one, and we're going to have Maury tell us about that one.
Thank you, Bob. We will now be speaking about the Dalmore King Alexander III single malt whiskey, coming in at 40% ABV. Interesting that they chose 40. The Dalmore Distillery dates back to 1839, but the Mackenzie family heritage dates back to 1263. It was in this year that Colin Kintale, chief of the clan Mackenzie, saved King Alexander III from the fury of a charging stag. In recognition of this noble act, the king granted the Mackenzie clan the right to use the 12-pointed royal stag emblem on their coat of arms. When the descendants of the clan became owners of the Dalmore Distillery in 1867, the royal stag became the recognizable icon that proudly adorns each bottle of the Dalmore today, an emblem which encapsulates a rich past, which also embodying a promise that the Dalmore will remain at the pinnacle of single malt. The Dalmore King Alexander III showcases the Dalmore's commitment to the art of cask curation. It is the world's first single malt to create an assemblage of six cask finishes, initially matured in American white oak.
This is Margaret's assemblage.
I resemble that remark. Initially matured in American white oak ex-bourbon casks, the liquid is apportioned, between small batch ex-bourbon casks, Methusalem Oloroso sherry casks, Madeira barrels, Marsala casks, port pipes, and Cabernet Sauvignon wine barriques.
Yay.
These are then brought together in an in-situ sherry built to harmonize. I have no idea what that means. Well, let's talk about the whiskey.
That makes two of us.
They're all blended together in a sherry butt.
Love big butts.
Where they get to marry. With the flavors marry.
It's got a beautiful mahogany color. It's got red fruits on the nose with a hint of passion fruit.
I do not get any passion fruit. Where are you pulling that from? Passion fruit is
pulling that from the Dalmore tasting notes.
On the palate, citrus, vanilla, creme caramel, some cinnamon, nutmeg, ginger, and then a finish that just goes on and on. This is an amazing whiskey. It's beautifully crafted. I love the pedigree. I love what they've done with this. The only thing I would say about this whiskey, I'd love to see it at cask strength.
Well, see,
or higher than 80.
They're going up against, this is their, like, the 80 proof is their worldwide. You can sell it the same proof and the same price. It's like Johnny Walker Blue. It's not the best thing that Johnny Walker makes, but it's the thing that people recognize. It's Johnny Blue is 80 proof, right?
True.
They do this.
This stuff is amazing, though. Yeah, I mean,
imagine it's a 90, 92.
It'd be beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's still beautiful.
I mean, though. You don't even need to get up to 100, but in the lower 90s.
If you put this up to 110, be beautiful.
This is amazing.
At 110, I'd probably just be buried. But
they're going for a certain type of drinker who wants, I'm drinking my whiskey neat. I never put any water in it. So you do 80 proof. And they think, oh, this is the best whiskey in the world because I don't have to put anything. It's so smooth. If that's a marketing thing, you know?
And it's working.
Mm-hmm. It's working.
I mean, it's working. They put it in a nice box. They package it well. It's an amazing flavor profile to it. I get all those fruits. This is a bourbon lover's whiskey. A bourbon lover's whiskey.
Is, Dave, if you're listening to this show, if you could possibly obtain a sample of this before they proof it down.
110 proof?
I'm just saying, we would love to talk. We'd love to talk about it.
But it's very enjoyable. I mean, it's hard to put anything down about this because I enjoy it so much. But
it's stunningly good.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know why.
No, we're just sitting here talking about how could it possibly be better.
Better.
So I'm curious if you guys notice this. I've been drinking this for years. This one, I think, has more Cabernet Sauvignon influence than
I haven't had a bottle of this in a couple of years, so I really don't remember.
Yeah. I think it's
this is a regular on your bar.
It's well balanced.
I get
your bar home. I drink this regularly.
Yeah, the Marsala, the Marsala, the Madeira doesn't come in as much. The Marsala also doesn't come in as much. Yeah, definitely, I get more of the regular Cabernet red wine finish on it. But I, that's purposeful. They're not trying to turn this into a sweet one. They have sweet ones.
Sure. So I totally understand why they're doing it, but every time I try one of these.
Yeah, what stands out for me is the Oloroso and the Cab.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, the other two are minor players. They are hidden in the background, and they just combine to create the symphonic end result.
So that's why they use the word harmonize.
Yeah.
Very good. They got you. The marketing people got you, Maury.
They did. They got me with the flavor, so
yeah. I don't care about the marketing. I care about what it tastes like, and King Alexander is always
an amazing treat. They did a great job. Nothing wrong with it.
It's it is king for a reason. So we're going to be rating the Dalmore King Alexander III single malt whiskey. It well deserved 5 sips.
Oh my God. You gave 5 sips to an 80-proof whiskey. Is this a first for us?
It might be.
I'm sure probably we probably not.
Could be a problem though.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to have Justin tell us about our next one. Everybody stare at Brent.
Okay, I'm staring at Brent.
So happy right now.
Very, very happy. I just finished off this Dalmore King. I mean, how can I not be happy, right?
What would be unhappy about that?
All right,
you're going to ruin my day, right? So
now we're going to talk about the Lagavulin Nick Offerman Edition Charred Oak Cask Single Malt Whiskey.
Woo!
Darn right, woo.
What are you eating?
I call this Turf and Turf. 16-ounce T-bone and a 24-ounce porterhouse. Also, whiskey and a cigar. I'm going to consume all of this at the same time because I am a free American.
That's Ron Swanson for you.
I love this. So it's 46% alcohol by volume or 92 proof. The Lagavulin Offerman Edition Charred Oak Cask is the third edition of the collaboration between Lagavulin and TV's Nick Offerman. This 11-year-old single malt Scotch whiskey was designed by Nick Offerman to be paired with a rare steak. The only way to have a steak, if you ask me.
I like medium rare.
Medium rare is okay, but rare done
right. I'll still talk to you medium rare, but beyond that, I'm not talking to you.
Yeah. I'll order medium rare so it doesn't come out bloody, but I prefer the rare. To accomplish this, the whiskey has been aged, not finished, in American red wine. American. And European oak casks.
Why are you saying the letter A? It's American.
That have been shaved down before being heavily recharred. So this spirit is a very well-balanced, smoky, peaty kind of spirit, and I really enjoyed it. What did you think, Maury?
In case you missed it, that cough of derision was from Brent.
Yeah.
I didn't cough.
That was me.
I didn't cough.
I think it's anything but balanced.
Sissy.
Sorry.
I completely disagree with everything you've said.
Brent? You are a wimp.
Brent? Back me up on this.
Okay, so
testosterone.
When you pour this right out of the bottle and you take a nose of it, it brings you back to high school, you know, because that's when all the kids with the muscle cars, you know, put bleach on the road and spun out their tires and you had all that black smoke around. And that's what this
bleach
smells
do
like.
On
I didn't
the
know
road.
It was bleach.
Yeah, tell me about that.
You know?
Yeah, you put bleach down.
Bleach down, you spin out the tires.
Because it makes more smoke.
Yeah, oh,
cool. And it helps to break down the rubber and make it stickier.
It's slippery.
After an hour, the smoke is really
that's
burnt
why
off.
Went to med school.
Yeah, you know, water and time has really burned off the smoke on it, but it hasn't burned off the smoke on the palate. It's still there. It's a little bit balanced, but I'm going to tell you this: while people love these smoky whiskeys, and it's a geek whiskey, and that's all there is to it. You guys can say, "Oh, this is I love this."
But there's can't so get many. Enough of
you're
this.
A but geek. There's so many people that don't want that kind of flavor, and they need to know to avoid this.
They're called sissies. Yeah.
We're doing a public service.
We're not giving you any rare steak or peaty whiskey today.
If you want to listen to the low testosterone boys over there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's only like a dozen distilleries in Iowa making whiskey very similar to this and selling it as fast as they can make it. I'm just saying maybe you guys, you know, need to change your panties. This is fantastic.
Wood smoke, seaweed, and apples. Oh, my God.
There's no seaweed. There are no apples.
Green apples, yes.
Green apples, I'm definitely getting.
Mm.
Yeah.
I can't go even back to taste it to see if there's any changes.
I've ruined my palate once already today.
I didn't get the seaweed till I put water in it, but I did get the like that salty kind of minerally, like the salt crusted up on a rock on a beach kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, baby. I added a little bit of whiskey to my tall glass of water, but I didn't get the seaweed.
And you guys wonder why when I went to Ardbeg, I didn't take you. Ay, ay, ay. Well, in spite of these guys, we're going to be rating the Lagavulin Nick Offerman Edition Charred Oak Cask, a well-deserved 4 sips.
Is a low
would
score
have been
because
5
of
if it wasn't for them. So, well, that's all the time we have for today. I want to thank our co-host for joining us today. Thank you, Brent.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed at least 7 of the whiskeys.
And thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. Another spectacular day in the basement.
And thank you, Justin.
Thank you. I look forward to this all week, and it was worth it.
Isn't happy hour anytime?
There you go.
Yeah.
And thank you, Harm.
Thank you, Bob. I'm going to go out to dinner tonight with some friends, and I'll be having some rare steak and some Lagavulin.
Well, that's there a lie. We know he doesn't have any friends.
In my head, I'm with friends.
Imaginary friends. To show up. He pays them.
The distributors who buy his liquor and food.
Well, this is Made Mad Bob, and for Sip, Suds, and Smokes, we thank you for joining us. Remember, life is too short to drink bad whiskey.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone, play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.